The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the week of the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And all of a sudden, we got a story to pursue here with the Ben Simmons declaration from Brett Brown, actually. Brett Brown declaration after practice on Zoom that Ben Simmons will line up as the Sixers resume the NBA season as the power forward slot. You know how many people are out there going, they can't wait to get to the phone lines. Oh, Mike, I've been telling you all this time, he's more of a four than a one. Well, see, now you're getting your wish, but I wouldn't start going crazy right away because I think this is a temporary move. We've been after Brett Brown to come up with something in the lab for 4 months, right? Because let's face it, they underachieved. They were the sixth seed. So something had to change. And I kept arguing against people that, like, it wasn't magically going to change if they come back in the same form. There had to be some kind of a tweak with him coaching this team. And so now this is what he's come up with. So let me just say, I have absolutely no problem with him in this temporary space playing him as the four. Because what do we have to lose? At this point, you go, that's a change that may make the Sixers better. That's going to make them worse. So now you're going to have perimeter players. Ben probably going to take the ball up the floor, maybe give it off, and then go into a four position. He's probably going to, like, well, I don't know. We'll hear from Brett here, because Brett said he want to take advantage of his speed by having him on a break just dart down the floor. Now, I like the fact that he's got the ball in his hands during a fast break. So I don't know how they're going to pull this off. And how much he's going to actually handle the ball. Because you are taking away one of his strengths. If you don't put the ball in his hands at any level, you're taking away one of his major strengths. So I'm curious to see how this is all going to work. And at this point, you got to ask yourself the question, do they have enough time to make this work? They're coming out of the lab, and they're going to play 8 preseason games. And they go right to the playoffs. Is that enough time to make this kind of thing work? I don't know. So let's get right to Tyrone. Let's get right to it at the start. Brett explaining this whole situation and what he expects to get out of it.
Keith, I think it's a really great question that we're talking about now, because it is so on my mind from a few ways, and you hit the main one, buy-in. You know, you take somebody and you say, here's the ball. And it's not like, you know, Ben came in and we had Chris Paul on the team or, you know, Damian Lillard on the team. We were young and really not that good. And so, like, it was my decision. You take the ball. You know, we're going to make you the point guard. It's not like he came in, there was an established point guard that you had to bump out. And so there are zero regrets on doing that. But it's important to understand the segue into where he was and now where he is. And so now, you know, you fast forward it. It's not like, you know, you're looking over your shoulder and there's Damian Lillard or Chris Paul. That isn't true. It's not where I'm going. But you realize the value that he has in many other areas. And so now how does he give up, you know, that torch, so to speak? And the last few days I played him, you know, exclusively as a four-man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so dynamic, to your point. Like, let's just talk about running. There's nobody faster in the NBA. And so to always have Ben have to have the ball and dribble it up, you know, against five guys after made baskets especially, and I'll get to misses in a second, to do that, I think, dilutes some of his potent weapon, speed. And so watching him fly up the floor, watching Joel and him play off each other has been a really good look. I think that they've been fantastic together. And most importantly, Keith, to your question, how has he responded to that? Like a star, like just a mature, whatever it's going to take to get this team to be the best that it can be with the pieces that we have that can be, I don't know, just, you know, designed into a smooth thing, something that's not clunky. That is one of the pieces that he has to offer. And I think he's been great accepting that and really killing it in practice in the environment that I just said.
All right. So he's with Keith Pompey there on that Zoom chat. There's a lot to unpack here. Listen, I can't argue that Ben Simmons is a lethal weapon on the break when he gets down the floor and somebody else has the ball and can find him. I get that part of it. But you know, I thought that was a flimsy rationale. And he beats people on the dribble all the time. So if he goes through people, you're still going to create open spaces for other people. I like that part of his game, the fact that nobody can handle him in an open floor when he's got the ball. So this is really strange. Because from day one, Brett Brown has said Ben Simmons is a point guard. And now, if you listen to, well, we didn't have Damian Lillard, we didn't have Chris Paul. So he's kind of like going back on that by saying, we made Ben Simmons a point guard by default, which is a drastic change from his opinion on Ben Simmons this whole time he's had Ben Simmons. Now, not that it matters, because we're quibbling here. If it works for the Sixers, I'm okay. But when they took the ball out of his hands in a previous spot, I didn't like that, Ben. And that was the Jimmy Butler thing. And he disappeared, sort of. And it wasn't until they got him the ball back that they made a run against Toronto in that series. So I'll ask you, Tyrone, what do you make of all this?
Well, first, I have to say, you know.
So he's got to have Shaq. All right, Shaq's going to be
my man, Shaq Miller.
Shaq's not Shaq. What am I saying? Shaq. I'm thinking Shake Shack.
Yeah.
So I said Shaq first. All right, so Shake.
Yeah, I think what it means, in all seriousness, what I think in the short term, what it allows, the one thing that Shake does if Ben is off the ball that Jimmy Butler was not comfortable doing for whatever reason is Shake is willing to shoot the three ball. And I think trying to go through his kind of tale of this, that, the other thing is he recognizes that teams, if you put Ben at the top of the key in a playoff situation against the good teams, they'll sag off and that will make issues for the offense. But if you move him closer to the basket and you try to surround him with the semblance of shooting, he thinks that might work better. I think that's what he's thinking. And because Shake was shooting the ball well before it stopped, and apparently he's having good practices, only a couple practices, it's not a playoff game, but Court Miles, who's apparently definitely in the rotation, you have Ben bring it up some, but you have him play down, you can't sag off of him, he's still a threat, he's picked, sets picks, and you put some shooters around him, and let's see what happens this year. I think that's what Brett means. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's what he means.
All right, listen, I don't care what he does. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is not going to be productive. Because if he can make it productive, that's fine. If this is his idea and he came up with something where he thinks he can maximize the talent for this temporary period, I don't think that Brett Brown is thinking about if he ever comes back, which I don't know if it's that's debatable anyway. But if he does come back, I don't think he's going to make Ben Simmons a four in this league.
I agree.
But it does open the point that if another coach comes in, maybe he'll make him the four and we'll take the ball away from him. This is you know, this is a Brett Brown thing with Ben Simmons. He sees him as the one who can do things at that position that no other player in the league can. And to a large extent, I agree with him. Now, if he felt he had to make a change and this was the best thing that would maximize the Sixers in this short period of time, I've got no complaints with it. And I just have to see if it's going to work. But I know there are people out there, and I want to hear from you. Mike, I told you so. He's better as a four. You guys are out there. You Bennett power forward position dudes are out there. And I expect to hear from you today. All right, the other thing is that Jadeveon Clowney apparently is interested in signing with the Eagles. No offers sent for Clowney, and so the price coming down a little bit. And I think it would be a no-brainer to grab him on this team if his price has come down. Well, what's the breakneck price?
Apparently, it's, we're talking about like $10
million. $10
million? On a one-year deal.
I'd pay that in a second. Would you go as high as 12? What's your price ceiling?
To me, it's been 12.
You spend 12, that's
right.
The ceiling.
Right, because he initially wanted 20, then it got to 18, 15, 12 to me. Uh-huh. Is the number where you pull the trigger, and now Graham and him are your two starting defensive ends.
I agree with you. So we'll see if that happens. So things are looking up. We got a change with the Sixers. We got the Eagles. Clowney's interested. We might have him in the fold. What else? Anything else?
DeSean Jackson's punishment came down over the weekend.
DeSean Jackson got fined.
And he had mandatory education.
Yeah, and he said today that he's going to visit
Auschwitz. He met with a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor over the weekend, and after that said he said I'm really learning. It's been powerful. So that's good.
That's very good. And he's got to probably do everything that they suggest at this point.
Everything.
Yeah.
Or then they probably have the right. They kind of put in the statement. If he doesn't do what we want, then we can suspend him.
Yes. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you get in to the Mike Mussinelli Show. We'll be all around the map today, but what is your opinion? Ben Simmons, no longer the point guard as the Sixers resume NBA play. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Mike Arafolo, working for the NFL Network, and so many things to talk to Mike about. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fans. What's up, brother? How you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. Day one off of vacation. You always feel great day one coming out of the gate, but you never pace yourself, and by Tuesday, you're like, when's my next vacation, right, Mike?
So where did you go on vacation? Anywhere fancy? You just hang out?
No, you can't go anywhere fancy.
Yeah, I don't know if you got in the car and went camping or something, you know?
No, we were at our shore house. We're up in Point Pleasant. I'm in the North Jersey Shore.
That's that New York climate up there.
Right.
I guess.
And it's different from the South. It's just a whole different vibe.
It is. You're a South Shore dude who was adopted to the North Shore.
Right. And to get to, like, you know, my parents are down in Sea Isle and friends and buddies in anywhere from Ocean City to Ventnor to Margate. It's like 2.5 hours. I mean, no traffic, it's 2 hours. So I gotta accept life as a North Shore.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Let's talk about this. Let me just tick them off. So let's first start with the Jadeveon Clowney being interested in the Eagles. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. If the price came down, why wouldn't they do it? What are you hearing about this?
Yeah, I mean, if the price came down, did he So what got him trending yesterday? Was it Baldy's tweet and Baldy's tweet alone? Did I miss something else?
Yeah, he introduced it, yes.
Yes, all right. So Baldy alluded to the fact that the Eagles could be.
And then it was John Clayton who spoke on ESPN Radio also.
And he said, Clowney to the Eagles.
He said he's going to be interested in Philadelphia because one of the things and one of the reasons he turned down Cleveland is because he wants to go to a winning team.
Right, which is fine. Okay, all right. So now I know why it's all coming full circle. Yeah. I saw up all of these tweets. I don't think there's anything new on the Eagles front. And you talk about, is the price going to come down? I mean, the price hasn't come down for any team that was involved, and the Seahawks then went about their business, and the Browns then went about their business, and the Titans kind of made it clear that they weren't going to beat that asking price. So, he'd have to say, I am taking an enormous discount to go play for the Eagles this year in a messed up year anyway, and see if I can play 1 year there and use that as a launching point for something going forward. That's the only way. And I sense no momentum right now with regard to him landing in Philly. I guess it's up to him whether he wants to change that.
Yeah. And now, should the Eagles be interested at a price of $10 to $12 million?
If you can fit it under, yeah. I mean, if it's not going to disrupt your cash flow, I mean, listen, the owners are asking for money back from the players, right?
Cause yeah, 35%.
Cash flow isn't, yeah, yeah. So you can do that in a mandated way, or you can do that with the way that you conduct business. Now, there's a minimum that you've got to spend on the salary cap, but most teams are above that. So there's a way to get down there, and some guys might get cut, and maybe some plans that you had to bring in a guy are going to go up and smoke. If they can fit it in and they want to spend it there and they can cut it elsewhere, absolutely, then you do it. But, Jadeveon Clowney is probably figuring out at this point that money's not flowing as freely as it would have back in March.
Yeah. All right, so when your vacation, the Deshaun Jackson issue hit the world, yep. And now there's the fallout from it, and there's a story today where he accepted an invite to visit Auschwitz. First of all, your reaction when it happened and your reaction on how the Eagles handled this here?
How they handle it and how they will handle it moving forward, because it's not over. They put their statement out there after a week of, or a couple days of conversations and private conversations with Jackson. They said in their statement, you know, he accepted the fine or whatever. He did. I mean, but that could change going forward. I mean, it's not an open and shut type thing. So it's still got to play out. I mean, you know, he's got to show them the kind of remorse that they want to see. And it's an issue that was extremely personal to Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Rosen. And other members of the organization as well. So they wanted it known that this was a serious thing for them. And, there were other people involved too. I mean, Meek Mill was involved in this one. He had conversations, with all folks involved from what I understand. I believe Snoop Dogg was even involved, because Deshaun's got a lot of connections, and those folks were speaking on behalf of Deshaun, saying that this could be an opportunity for him to grow and to teach others to grow. So we'll see. I mean, I thought the Eagles were crystal clear publicly and privately that if they don't see what they want to see from Deshaun Jackson continuing to move forward and don't believe that it's genuine, that this could have a different ending.
Yeah, they used the same tack with Michael Vick, and that thing worked out okay. I guess the thing that everyone was talking about, should there be a suspension or not, and I think the Eagles were kind of tied because the Riley Cooper example was out there, and they decided that the education is the route to go here. I think it's the right move.
There's no question that the history, if not for the Riley Cooper thing, maybe this thing ends differently. But you know, people were going to compare it to that, and rightfully so. You say, well, why would the punishment be any different for this guy versus this guy? And I understand that, you know, one guy said it in a different context, and Deshaun maybe not fully understanding at the time what he was saying, what he was putting out there, and really trying to do it from, like he said, the standpoint of lifting up a community, not realizing what was happening on the other end of that. I mean, you've got to understand that part. And if no suspension and Deshaun Jackson going out there and doing what he needs to do does help more people understand that maybe wouldn't have understood it,
then yeah, I think that that's a net positive.
Talking to Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. All right, Mike, so a lot of NFL players, and they voiced it loudly, they are what I call protocol confused. And they're wondering what the why the NFL hasn't buttoned down some things a little more. Now, there's a story today that Oakley has come in to design some kind of a mouth guard that will be inside the helmet. So where are they right now at the protocol, and where are the players?
They're discussing it right now, and it protocols everything from, how many players are going to be in the building at once, how many players are going to be practicing at once. You could have some kind of split squad deal for some teams, where they say we've got 90 guys and we're going to keep the full 90, so we've got to split them up so that they're not together. And during this ramp-up period that we've got, we'll have them, you know, position-specific or offense, defense. These are part of the protocols that are either going to be outlined by the NFL or NFLPA or be, you know, team-to-team within the overall outline. That's one thing. The other thing is testing. How often is it going to happen? The NFLPA would love for it to happen every day to make sure their players are as safe as possible or as informed as possible with regard to who has what, symptomatic or asymptomatic. And the NFL is saying, well, I think we'll do every other day. And so this is the stuff that's being, I hate to use the word negotiated because it's not finance, it's health and safety, but it's kind of getting rolled in with the finances too. And we alluded to it earlier with regard to the league wanting the players to give back 35% to hold an escrow, basically, to see what happens. Do we have fans? How much revenue are we going to lose this season? And figure out when we can pay that 35% back. And the players saying, and you've got the player side, I continue to have these conversations, saying, well, if there's no season at all, anybody with a fully guaranteed contract should be paid. You got a fully guaranteed base salary, you should be paid that. And the league is going to say, well, it was fully guaranteed based on the fact that we were having a season. So, both sides really asking for a lot of things right now. It is a full-blown negotiation that you hope that they can work out amongst themselves without the need for some kind of arbitrator to work through some of these things. But we are getting close to that deadline to figure out what's going on if we're going to start training camp on time.
All right, so are we going to have no preseason games or the two that the owners want?
I would say probably zero. That would be my guess. And not because I think the players win. I just think that, you know, we're getting close to it, and there's a lot that's got to fall into place for that to happen. So if I'm picking a side right now, zero or maybe one. Maybe you get one game in just to get the feel of. And listen, here's the other thing too. There are players and teams who are saying, well, maybe if we have these two games, none of our starters are going to play anyway, and we're going to have these bottom of the roster guys go out there, try to earn a job, and at the same time, they put themselves at risk. So, again, this is part of a lot of the overall conversation right now.
All right, last thing. The Washington Football Club has finally got to change it. Now, this guy went kicking and screaming, but they hit him over the head with a dollar sign, and so now it's going to happen. Where does it go from here? What do you think the name will be? What are you hearing about it?
I'd be lying if I was saying I would guess what the name's going to be. I mean, I've seen, you know, Warriors, Red Tails. I've seen them all out there, and a lot of them do make sense, for different reasons. I would say by the start of camp, you'll have it. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be in order and you're going to have your logo and all these things. I mean, I think you're going to see, if training camp is on time, the Washington team with no logos, nothing on their jerseys, maybe even plain white jerseys, or plain black or whatever. I had heard that the color scheme was going to stay in place, but, this is a really, you know, in addition to everything else going on, a really fascinating thing to see how a team is going to change its name and logo, as we're rolling into training camp. I mean, this is not usually the timeline for this stuff to happen. I think I've seen different polls saying Native Americans think it's offensive, Native Americans don't think it's offensive, they didn't have to make this change, yada, 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 whatever. I think it's the right call, and I think that it's an opportunity for this team to, shed a conversation that came up every couple of years and just move forward with football.
Yeah, so it could be a generic uniform.
No, just to start training
camp. Oh, to start training camp. Okay. So by the time we start the regular season, they'll have the logo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. By then. But, you know, we're
it's going to be a hot seller, I'll tell you that.
What, the new
logo is going to be a hot seller.
Well, listen, in the end, Dan Snyder, it could be a financial windfall.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't know how he couldn't see that it was going to be a financial windfall. Well, everyone wants new stuff, right?
Here's the thing with Snyder. He grew up in the area. He was a fan of the team. He really felt like, as the owner, he was carrying the tradition of the franchise forward, and that's why he was so adamant about, you know, keeping the team name, and we're never going to change the team name. But circumstances change, and things are happening around the world, and, you know, like you said, the big dollar sign can change things as well. And I think that was one of the biggest factors, obviously a huge factor.
All right, Mikey, listen, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, and get back to work. All right?
You got it. All right, brother.
All right, there he is, Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
4:45, Mike Missinelli Show. Two open lines. This is a good time to get in. 610-622-0975. Talking about the Ben Simmons move to the four spot. Also talking about life inside the bubble. And I'm bringing back the LeBron decision was made 10 years ago. There's a really interesting documentary called Backstory, where they go back over how it happened and the ramifications of it all. I remember the majority of people said, just live it. Yeah, LeBron did that to poor Cleveland. But let's move on to another domesticer topic. A domesticer topic. America's couple, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, and they went on a Red Table Talk, a YouTube show, Jada, together. That was a Facebook show. Sorry, Facebook show. And Jada admitted that she had a little thing going with singer August Alsina.
Yeah.
And he's a younger fella. So she's going for the little younger man. And Will kind of, I don't know, he's was kind of okay with it. What was the upshot?
Well, they were separated.
They were separated.
Separated.
Yeah. So apparently, what happened a few years ago was that Will at the time was done with Jada. That was very clear in the talk. Will was done with Jada. Uh-huh. They didn't get into why, but he was.
Uh-huh.
And she called it an entanglement.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Will called it a relationship with August.
Yeah.
Then, when they got back together, apparently she has not spoken to him since. That's what...
She has not spoken to August.
To August since.
Since.
But Will was clearly angry and hurt during that Red Table talk.
Uh-huh.
And,
he's probably embarrassed.
And a little bit. Yeah, and embarrassed. And there's been a lot of rumors and stuff like that have gone on over the years, and they've made a point of not talking about those. I think intentionally, and now they've had to talk about these things.
Because I remember there being speculation prior when this first released. I remember them speculating that they had some sort of arrangement where they were an open arrangement.
They did say that.
Right.
Turns out that was not the case.
Yeah, right.
So this is where I want to go with it, because this has a couple different layers on it, because August tweeted out, in fact, what he tweeted out was, if you have something to say, say it with your chest, kids. It's very perplexing, because I real deal be showing people genuine love whole time, that envy eating your little heart. Anyway, next. That's what August tweeted out.
Yeah, meanwhile, last week he's all on video.
I loved her, all this stuff.
Kiki Palmer, Cosmo cover girls. So it's got different layers with August on who he's talking about in this tweet.
Right.
But let's just focus on the Tyrone part of this.
Okay.
All right, so my man Will is out there. He reminds me kind of like
when Mike Tyson and
Robin Givens
expose on Barbara, was it Barbara Walters?
She said to sit there and say that Mike hit her and stuff, and Mike just has to sit there on the couch and take it.
Right.
Even though Mike alleges that he didn't do any of that stuff.
Right. So we'll kind of take it. It's okay. So your thoughts.
Number one, it appears, just as a backstory, that Will and Margot Robbie may have had a thing during that same time period.
Because they did that movie together.
Well, and then there's
a couple, and there's a lot of photos and stuff. And they did have a lot of chemistry. And you could say that the chemistry probably went beyond work, it seemed like. But what Will did was he made sure not to embarrass his wife or his family. And where Jada made a mistake, and I'm not trying to be sexist in any way, because men do stuff, women do stuff. You never do something that could embarrass your spouse or your family. And when they're separated, and I know they were separated, Will made sure he did not do anything to embarrass Jada publicly. She should have done and made sure she did the same thing out of respect to both her husband, who she claimed she wanted to reunite with. Will was done with her. She was supposed to still be wanting to get Will back. Meanwhile, she's having a, quote, entanglement and ends up embarrassing her husband. What do you mean?
If he was done with her, what was she supposed to do? Sit around and twiddle her thumbs?
It depends. If you want to get your person back, let me guess. This is what I should do. If Elizabeth and I broke up and I wanted to get Elizabeth back, I tell you what I wouldn't do. Go mess with another girl, because I don't think that would make her all of a sudden have the woman fuzzies. That's not an unfair thing. That's not unfair.
If she said, I want to get back together, and he said, no, I'm done with you, and then this dude pops up, I mean, I'm not mad at her.
So if that's the case, Will should be done with her now.
No, I mean, they worked through it, which is good.
Will,
it was an entanglement. I agree.
It didn't look like Will worked through it. It looked like Jada worked through it. Will was upset. Will had tears in his eyes. Will was very upset. Will was upset.
I love this. I love this back and forth.
Defending the lady.
I'm not
even
defending
when
her. I just say I understand. No, I understand where she's coming from. I understand where she's coming from. What's she going to do? Sit around and wait for him to come back? Yeah. I don't know.
It's still death do your part, right?
Well, they were separated.
Well, there you
and
go.
He was done with her. I don't see
how'd it work out. Well.
No, well, it's fine now.
I gotta be honest.
It's not fine now.
If I had to sit there on a sofa and listen to her talk about this affair, you know, I'm doing it after the show. I mean, hello, Margot.
Right. Margot's married now.
You can't have it both ways.
It's not a both ways situation. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You do not, if you want your spouse back, you don't embarrass your spouse. This is not hard.
She didn't know it was going to come out.
If you mess with somebody she admitted he was sick. She admitted he had a lot of mental problems. She admitted he had a bunch of problems. If you mess with a messy person, they're going to be messy. And she has to know better as the older woman not to mess with a messy guy. That's shameful by her in that way. I'm not talking about her, the act of what she did. People do what they do. What was shameful was she didn't think it through and she embarrassed her family. And that's what's embarrassing, in my opinion.
Well, I'm glad I brought that up.
Well, I disagree.
For that reason, I think it was wrong. And if Will left her, not for the adultery part, because allegedly they both did things, for the embarrassment part, I would not blame him at all for the embarrassment part.
Hello, Margot. I'm out.
See, I would be out as well. But
I'm out.
And this is another thing that came out, Mike, and you're a divorced man. So I want to actually hear when he entered a marriage, he felt like, for whatever reason, that it would be a failure if the marriage failed.
Right.
Which puts a lot of his happiness and his future on someone else's actions. Because they even made a joke about bad marriage for life and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To me, as a happily married person, but I want to hear from a person who got divorced, like, wouldn't it be hard for you to have continued on in that marriage if you were unhappy in the marriage? Or if it was a bad marriage?
Yeah.
And Will seems like he's hell-bent to stay in it.
Yeah.
Even if he's unhappy and sad.
Yeah, he is. It's strange.
And she is
All right. Well, good for them. They want to make it work for whatever reason. we roll into the 5 o'clock hour. And your thoughts on the Sixers, on Will, on Jada, on Marco Robbie. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.